got razzed, and they put the razzy move. Stupid, insane, didn't make any sense, it's one. And then, of course, energy and later on deceleration. Rohrhammer's getting 11-something useful sounds instead of 6-8. First, he didn't trust him, worry him, he's experimenting with him, vacillate. And now, he designed the low energy users and is telling the world. He's doing very well at his seminars. Wind can't pick his melody problems, carrying the load for them for weekend seminars. They're not tough certain things. They're not giving him course about the other guy. They're analyzing the race. You shouldn't analyze the race, just to put him in the right decision. So Quinn got in. I'm not pitching, but I'm telling you history. When Rohrhammer's book comes out, and when Tom's book comes out, Tom is just something to simplify, because they don't understand Rohrhammer's book any more than they do mine. They all think they're so clear and I'm so vague, but when they write something, people ask them the same stupid questions they ask me, so they're just as vague. So the world is going to go, it'll be a phase three world out there. And I'm not responsible, because I refuse to write a book. I refuse to get all that glory and done. That's my good stop. We all should think in terms of least density. Certainly the synergy. Next 2 years, everybody will be using incremental velocity. But as you know, if you gave the horse, you sat down and said, wrote it on their program who was going to win, they have a reason to bet. I didn't like that horse because that trainer hasn't won in 15 starts. I said, he's due, you know. Brilliant people say I did. William Murray, you know the guy who tipped on a dead crap? He wrote King of the Nightcap recently. I was William in the Nightcap race, and he said, who you got here? I showed him my box, it was exact in it. He says, well, that'll be all right, except, you know, I know this guy real well. He's an old friend of mine. He was doing real well last year, but he's had a real bad year. Horse comes in, pays $17. Murray said, well, I'm sure glad to hit that for him. I didn't have money, but I'm sure glad he got a winner again. Hey, when you play seven on, or odd or even on a roulette wheel, the wheel doesn't know that it has had five blacks in a row, you'll say, oh, red's due. Let's go for red. Boom, black comes up again. That horse and that, you know, he doesn't know that these trainers are lousy. And if you want to feel like winning that day, if he's a figured horse. So you do have that wonderful thing going for you, that 90% of the people, or 95% of the people, as well as some of our people in this world, if you gave them the horse, they find a reason not to bet it. Or they say, yeah, I heard, on my way to the window, a guy told me that horse was sick. So he knows he shovels in the back step. I'm telling you like it is, historically, a lot of public domain. I tried to keep it a secret for you. And as a result, we're famous. We didn't write a book. We didn't have a hardback. I was going to say posthumously and have one published after I die, so none of you would chase me around the block saying you broke your promise to me. I may write one on the psychology, but I won't write a book on handicaps. Somebody else will. Now, energy's patented, it's copyrighted, and it's trademarked, and we've already had some few phone calls to some people and get them pretty well in check. When they start stealing that, there'll be some kneecaps. Or a severe legal action taken, I mean. And UltraScan, nobody wants to steal because it looks so ludicrous when you look at it. So I just want to keep you posted. One of these days, you're going to start getting your 680s while you can with phase three. How many of you are just phase three? Well, it's not very many. Most of you now have discovered what I'm just told you, that phase Phase 3. Well, it was great when it came out. You realize in 1982, Phase 3 was revolutionary, and people would say, oh, come on, who are you kidding? It was revolutionary. I almost got laughed out of New Orleans in the first seminar I did here. I had 16 people, 14 of which swore to God the second fraction and the second call were the same thing, and I was good. Hey, come on, that's the second fraction. Second call the same. I tried to do it on things, practice and that and stuff. And one of them was a chart caller for the racing football. You've come a long way. And all we're inviting you to come along with us as we progress, because we're always going to be ahead. We got things that are never dreamed of beyond energy. Which we might just accidentally show you a peek of today. Okay, that's my opening remarks. It's in the manual. I want you to know that anybody who tells you see an ad or something, they tell you how great this brand new velocity pace concept is, they're living in the dark ages, or they're trying to. Let the people who are content to be recreational handicappers do Tom's what he's done is very strong. It's got some advanced stuff in it, but it's very, very simple. You don't have to have a computer. It's all numbers and charts and things like that. So what we're going to really do is just steal back our own stuff for the masses and not make them clients. They'll get no service. You just let them have this Phase 1 as we all progress on to something else. How many energy users? Well, what should your average mutual should be about $3 higher than it was at Senator. Well, I know yours. He's 123, 104. That's just all this, folks. He couldn't get a $5 horse a year and a half ago. These guys are cleaning up. We also have some people in Vegas who hang out with Jim Selvage over at the, what's the name of that, Jim? Gold Coast. Who are still using the method. They screwed it around so much that, it was never. Phase 3 was never protected. They don't even know what the hell they got. And they just love losing and complaining about it. So you've got both sides of the coin, but these guys are cleaning up with it. And their neutrals are very high. But the thing that is so important is that you get the contenders. I mean, there's no sense going on to an advanced program if you're going to leave the contenders out. It's just ludicrous that we can't get it down to five horses. 95% of the time, we'll have win and mostly place in the five and show. So that was what we'll start off with today. Questions on the basics from you folks who are new or who are just coming back? We always get a lot of people come back. Every time Quinn writes a book, about half of the people who have left us come back. Well, I don't know if it was that good. I had it for 3 years. Any questions? You must have questions practically. You folks who would raise your hands as being either beginners or this is the time. Yes, ma'am.
How effective is the contender scan compared to the PBS average purse value?
Wonderful question. Because we just did a nationwide survey on the effectiveness of PBS. We have about five major tracks of a year-long study. PBS top two produced 59% winners. Sweeps top two, 34%. We did it with Sweeps because he's the most common. He's not the same person in all the forums, but he's the most common name. And then one we did with the top newspaper guy in a couple of markets, and he was about 40%. So you need to do your APD. We're going to discuss that today at great length. I see more people who don't get the winner, and especially who don't get the place horse, who don't put in that extremely high APD horse. It is especially important when maidens are going against winners. Two things that you look for when maidens go against winners for the first time. Richard Carter for non-winners of 2XF, or non-winners of 1XF. Those maidens, very seldom win unless their APV is with about 10% of today's purse. When it's over today's purse, it's really carded for them. And if all the horses, if it's for maiden winners only, take them all off their maiden winners. Don't take them off the failures they've had since, because it's now they're running against their own kind. Take them off, everybody off their maiden win. Now you go easy to enter, zero beaten lengths of the pick. APV is very strong. PVS, however, amazes me because I don't use it. I started it. I always use the speed rating, but I don't try to project the second goal because you can do that now with your matchup program and or your energy generator. Better. You can do it better. But if you've got to use that speed rating, whether you use the whole PVS or not, some people have trouble with PVS because they don't use the right second call, or the second pulse throws them off. But just make sure that any horse with a speed rating in the 80s is not overlooked. Just if you've beaten 9 lengths, it doesn't matter. Just don't overlook it. Because let's say a horse runs against a 108-1 beating 10 lengths. What do you run? 111-1. Or 110-1. You're on a 110-1. And you got some horses in there that you're the one at 111-3 and 110-4, and you're throwing this horse out. That's a terrible mistake. He ran very fast. We put that in our original manuals. Look for horses who did not do well but ran against an extremely fast pace. Just couldn't keep up with it. But they themselves ran very fast. Now you look back in their past performance lines and find a race in which they did well. We're going to do it today. It'll amaze you. Put them through the energy generator. You'll see almost the same pattern where the horse won a race as when he was beaten 9 lengths. You've got a race just like that. We'll show you. Any other questions? Did I answer your question? PBS is very strong. I mean, forgetting the team. Yes, sir.
Doc, I still don't understand PBS. I have the energy program.
Well,
there's a lot on the energy I still don't understand either.
Well, we got the advanced manual's been written. It's ready Monday. But we'll go with that with you. How far do you live?
In Sacramento.
It's away, isn't it?
Here's where I live.
Are you gonna stay over? Are you gonna stay over the weekend?
Yeah, I'll leave Monday morning.
Why don't you drop in Monday morning? Where do you go?
Right.
You driving?
Yeah.
Yeah, we'll go over.
Okay.
That'll be better. Yeah, no, you don't need anything with energy. PBS is fine, but energy gets you the qualifiers themselves. It's too strong to have to use any. PBS is terrific for velocity. 49% in the top two, and 59% in the top two is sweeps 34. That's nationwide. That's pretty damn good. You can live on 59%. Just that you can make money on those 59%. The only trouble is, numbers don't mean anything if they. You got to win the next race. You tell a guy, hey, you're doing 63%. Yeah, but I lost 4 in a row, and then he goes berserk. You got to keep the faith with yourself. Because if you start zigging when you should, when you're supposed to be doing what you were doing before, then you're going to have a terrible failure. We'll go over that question. Any other more questions on the basics here? Yes, sir.
In one of the manuals, or a couple of the manuals, you had suggested the use of the 5 warning line odds.
I got an article coming out involving that.
I started to use that. Mm-hmm. 6 weeks ago, and it up my percentage. What did I take? About 16%.
But it does.
I'm using that exclusively now, and it's worked out very well for me. I also use the APV just to find out, and the PBS numbers, which I swear by. But I'm using those 5, and it pushed me up. And as far as the mutuals are concerned, they're all right. I'm not complaining. But I want to get out of phase 3 now that I understand a little bit more about it.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm using that, and I think it's very successful. And I thank you for that input.
I missed the first part of that.
Yes. Okay. A lot of you who haven't been with us a long time or don't read all of our stuff from the fall. I determined in 1975 what I had was Daryl and I, my other guys would go to Mexico, and we go to Vegas, because we had to get this thing accelerated. If you try to build a method on one track, and it's in your area, your method's no good to start off with. It's a one-track method. This is why people in the Midwest, and whenever they write about the method, does this work at our track, or is it just your damn Southern California track? I did very little testing in Southern California track. Most of it was testing elsewhere. We found from the very beginning that the top five and ties on the morning line. Now that's not Sweep's morning line. That's the program morning line that's made by the track oddsmaker. And it's not just your track. It's every track in the country. I said, one fellow in New Orleans says, I think you're wrong about here. I know that guy's drunk every night, bleary-eyed every morning. My God, he tracked in. He was just as good as they were with the guy was silver. If there are any silver morning lines. They win 86-91% of all the races. They're much better than the closing odds. It's the best vehicle. Or if you had trouble with contenders, make sure you don't five and ties. By ties, I mean 292 horses, 272s, 2-3-1s. Take the top five, and there's a five, but it might be seven. Now you put them through your energy generator, and you can weed out a couple of those horses. They just don't fit the race. But you start with them. And he says he does these APVs. APV isolates a horse that you can go back farther for a pace line.
There's one other thing I use.
What's that?
I look back at the last race, and if that particular horse ran slower than his previous race, he's almost an automatic throwout, and it's worked very, very well for me.
But you got to make sure you ran slower.
Oh, yes, I do.
Don't just look at the beaten lens.
No, no. Yeah,
good.
No,
see what pace he ran against. Run the pace of the race through.
Oh, he has to be in the same ballpark.
Yeah, sure. And he could have had trouble line will let you go back up.
Yes, sir. On your DCL program, how do you exit?
How do you what?
Exit the program.
Oh, exit? You just, that's it.
Press what?
That's it. You just quit.
I turned the computer off.
Well, you can press the blank, blank, delete.
Yeah, the three buttons.
Yeah. Yeah, it won't exit. It's not a very sophisticated program. It would be if it would work on all computers. We could fix it and make it great. But we get some better graphs than that coming up. But what happened to us, it will not work except on a Dick knows the answer. It will only work for, what's that, CKG or K? Will not work on a monochrome when you have a monochrome monitor. Unless there's a CKG. What's the name?
CGA.
CGA? So it works on about half of it. It works on little Toshibas real well. It works on, if you get a new monitor, it'll work. But it shows you lose. I'll get back to that top five. Does everybody understand the top five morning line? And you can do your APVs to isolate some horse that's a sleeper. And then I always look at the other to see if there's anything they've left out. You know, the no dot horse. Sometimes your long shots come. You're not going to get those $124 horses in particular top 500 miles, usually. Once in a while, they're a little bit. I think those are coming along more. I've got two of them. One week, less than 1 week. We generally get four horses in 20 plays that are over $20. And we can't get them by just using the top five. You find some horse that's just been overlooked. It's usually some things we talk about today. It's underclass or overclass. Yes, sir.
And I was wondering what the relationship between APV and class was when you do that calculation.
Okay. Oh, that's good. If you do them both, said this before, let's get it firmly in our mind. APV tells you the level, we're talking dollars now, at which the horse did well. In other words, you're only putting in wins, places, and show. Okay. Class tells you how well the horse did at that level. Now, to clarify that, if it's not perfectly clear in everybody's mind, let's say you have a APB of 126 and a class rating of 78. That means that 126 or 26% over today's purse, the horse didn't do very well at that level. I mean, he's either just moved up or he's old class. I mean, he's not really a great stand-up. He's under the class level, but he did it at a higher level. Now, it's 68% APB with a 209 class rating. That means that 68% of today's purse, he was a world beater. The question would be now to try to go back to some race where he was closer to today's level and see how well he did there. And if he's had some history of doing well at today's level. And it's real tough sometimes. I have a young lady from Nevada, Lake Tahoe, who uses them, but doesn't pay any attention to APV and only pays attention to class. And she lost four races in a row that were easy to win for. And I called her up and I said, oh, I don't think we're talking about APV was not good. I read Quirin said it was good. Quirin said the top APV horse that went up to its IV. That's true. But these guys have this, what we call the Hertz syndrome. Thinking number one all the time. What does the number one in any category do? We're thinking one of the top four do. Yes, sir.
There was a horse that I think a couple weeks ago called Lickety Splitter.
Uh-huh.
I put the APB in and it was number five APB and it paid
$121.
Yes. Yeah, you're not gonna, top five APB win. What, 87? Vacillates from track to track. It's more important at the lower class tracks. You find a class standout, an APB standout, a lower class track, they do. That's not really. But what it does is, high APB, I use the APB, I can almost eyeball the class, because I can divide, but I can't do APB in my head for sensory reasons. But when I see a standout in APB, especially in certain kinds of races, I just go back and look for a better patient. It gives me permission. Everybody needs permission. Especially when I click that for a while, let it warm up again before we freeze it. Air on the other side of the thing. It's a little clicky.
Do you want the books
back
out now?
Yeah, because that's all in the books.
I'm from the ATV. One of the problems I've always had is kind of top ATV horse or a high ATV. A lot of times they're big class drops that have had four recent form.
Yeah, you got to watch that. That's the thing we're trying to designate. There's something that you can't make a rule on. You got to say, wait a minute. Did he earn that with a fourth place in the Breeders' Cup last year and he's been sick ever since? How did he get that APB? Did he get it by being an allowance horse and going to the claimer for the first time? Has he shown within the last 3 months, has he shown some form? Has he shown some regularity? Isolate his hidden fractions. You'll find sometimes a horse will have a 22.4 second fraction with a horrible looking line. That's what your energy generator tells, which we're going to go into in great detail. But that if you have a red flag waved in front of a bull, there is no better red flag than APV. And the public just thinks it's bunch of crap. They read a book where it's no good, and it's not. It works like crazy. And every time someone sends me some race they lose, and I do the APV for them, I say, I want to, if I could phone everybody, I would. Hey, dummy, what makes you think this horse, 159% of APV and four races ago, he was doing real well. He's not dropping because he's no longer that good. He's now he's dropping with a bunch of dogs. He's going to at least play. Yes, sir.
I know here in Santa Anita, it seems like there's a lot of horses coming from
$37,000-$40,000 allowance raises, drop down into the $20,000 claimers and stuff. Now, on Senate duty, do you let the automatic deductions take care of that and drop the class, or do you do a class adjustment?
No. The only time we would ever do a class adjustment, see, that's another problem that gets people in trouble. I'm glad you brought that up. Hey, citizens, open adjustment. Just because it's there, don't put something in. One guy got to put something in it every time. He loses the rig. The horse is going down. He's going down. So he's, why give him? He's supposed to be faster than these other horses, isn't he? He's a higher class horse. Faster they are, the higher the class they are. Let him be judged on his own. Now, the only time you make an adjustment is there will be 0.08 for track class level where they don't ship either.
You're talking like now, like Turf Paradise.
Oh, yeah, two, you get 0.16 those, 0.24.
Does anybody know how fast a horse from Turf Paradise will run when he comes to Santa Anita? How many lengths slower is he going to slow down?
10.
Any other?
Would you like to hear a little less than
10? The reason is Turf Paradise is basically 7 class levels slower. He will run 7 lengths slower, minus the difference in the track speed. He runs about 9 lengths slower when it comes to Santa Anita. It has to do with the way they run their first fraction, I believe. And I've looked at a lot of these races all over the United States, and that is why it has really. You have two things: you have track speed, and you have track class. And the track class, the reason is that they go slower in the beginning of the race. That's why they can run a little bit faster at the slower, a little faster at the low class track. When they come to the high track class, they really get pressed. In other words, they have to expend more energy to stay with the field early in the race, which gives them less energy at the end of the race, and so that they run as many as 10 lengths slower. So you see those Turf Paradise horses, if they run a 108 flat at Turf Paradise, and the best anybody in the field today is run a 111, you're looking at probably a horse that can stay with his field and win.
But look at the class.
He's not a contender at all.
Look at the class. Now, we had a beautiful winner down here. I think it was in Hollywood, November or something. He won, or came in second by a nose, in the Arizona Cup or something.
Phoenix
Gold Cup. And then another one that won from there was number one in the Pure Paradise Breeders Cup. These horses ran at the very highest level of Pure Paradise. Came over here and got into low class allowance or high or medium claimer. Now that's a little different. You got to look at their relative. But as Tom says, you can give them the synergism. You can give them point minus point, point, that would throw them out anyway. So give about a minus point 36. And if they can stand that, and those Breeders' Cup and that Gold Cup did, and they won. But you know, if losing one of those phenomenal races where a Caliente horse comes up here and scores big, or where a Turf Paradise horse, you start worrying about losing those. The best way to do is stay out of them. If you think it might win, put $2 across the board on them. You can pay $124 here. But don't take them so seriously that you put a major part of your bankroll on a Turf Paradise or a Caliente horse, unless you've got down a sophisticated way of knowing when they ship equally. That's very, very rare. Never ship equally from down there. But you got to make that from Tijuana. But make sure that it's a, if you want a horse and not a horse that I sent down from here, you get his eagle horse. They had a couple of cats, cat, a bunch of horses went down and they were broken down here. They were getting morale. They went down and they won by 15 lengths. They came back and started winning again up here. So you've got to watch where they really came from. Yes, sir.
In the last follow-up, there's an article about the diamond method.
Yes, there was. Next question.
that's why I asked to see how you felt about that.
Well, let me tell you something. And this is I'm glad you brought it up because it's very important. We had people who were doing real well. And then we taught them, got them over their little earlier cramps and their dissociation velocity. Now I get a report. First 10 races, wins 7 out of the 10. Next 11 races, wins 3. And he puts a little bracket that says, use diamond approach. What do you think?
What do I think?
You lost 8 out of 11 races with a procedure that the guy used to teach his wife how to handicap. Now, if you're, a couple of people called Dick, who they thought it was great, it helped them. But it's running about 65-35, who said that that's the worst thing they ever tried. Why would you, or anybody with a half of a brain, let yourself be influenced by something you see in print when you already are superior to the writer, not to the writer, but to the procedure. Obviously, any procedure that basic or that is for people with problems. I mean, real problems. The first thing you do when you have problems with energy is you get in touch with me or Jim Bradshaw. You're our responsibility. You don't send your reports and you don't get in touch with us, you're in breach of contract, but I'm not going to sue you. I'm just saying, there's your opportunity. We're there to answer your question and help you. And if you're going to read some method that a guy used to, wife, a very wealthy young woman, doesn't need the money, then shame on you. But Diamond did help a lot of people with that in the early days, and Dick put it in there because it was to help somebody who needed help. You don't need help, for God's sake, don't you? It's like if people are going to be that susceptible, I can't trust you. You go to the track and some guy says, hey, I got the greatest new thing in the world here. You want it for 20 bucks? You go home and try it. You're doing 80%. You're making $300 a day. Oh, but it's something new. Let me try it. Geez, you go through that all the time. Gus was the worst. This guy over here is making money now. He was the worst. Somebody would, you hear something? Yeah, where do you get that? He bought every... This man, if you had a basement or anything, if you had a basement sale, you would find every piece of handicapping paraphernalia literature. I got people all over the country like that. You've got to believe in what you're doing. You've got to choose something. You've got to stick with it. I can take the worst damn thing in the world and make it work. I make Ray Talbot's thing work. And I got something called CalcuMeter. I made it work. Not for a whole lot of money, but they'll all work if you say I'm going to make the dumb thing work. You say it's got to work for me. Nothing's going to work. You make it work. Some procedures that we can help you make it work a lot better. But if you don't believe in it, if you aren't psychologically prepared to win, then your problem isn't in your stars; it's in yourself. Any other questions?
Can I take
my question?
Sure. You know, when the fan
meter is mighty
and the lines are all slow,
how
do you put those lines in when you have
some horses that are coming from races before that?
You're using
synergism, right? Right. You set your race up at times that are closest to what they're now running. If they're now running 112s, don't put in a bunch of 108s.
What if that's the only case line? You don't have, like,
how well did the horse run? Let's take an example. You give me an example. I'm giving you the answer. Everybody got this? How do I race it? Spencer?
Anybody got a paper towel?
Never around when you need it. Thank you very much. There's some napkins back here.
Right here. Go on your right. Keep going.
Right. This is for all. Now, your energy generator. We're going to have a demonstration of that. Hey, energy generation, the greatest case line picker that we'll find. Dick's got some stuff on it. Let's say you're in the mud. Give me a running line. Give me some time. Let's say 23, 6 for all races?
Yes.
Well, he's running real slow. So let's say 23, 46, 4, and 112.
Right.
And beaten?
Give
me.
2. 1.
Okay. Now, you take another horse from 21-4, 44-4, and 108-4.
Right.
And you say, well, hey, that horse is, even with synergism, that horse, unless you set it up,
it's
not going to look very good. Now, what do you say to yourself? Wait a minute. How did that horse do back when it was dry? Did it ever run a 108-4? Is he just slow?
It is a problem, it's like the race, the next race back will be a turf race, and then back before that will be, you know, in a different track, maybe, you know, your paradise or something, and how far back do you go, you know, to find a good pace line that is going to be.
How far back do you have to go to find a good pace line? Can you ever find a good pace line?
Oh, okay.
If you can't find one, you won this race. Now, Tom's going to go into this, how you do it. Here's how, the basic way you do it. What was his variant rating?
Variant would be maybe 22.
Well, I know you would tell. Let's say it was 22. And this other one ran it on 09.
Yeah.
Okay, within two, don't take go the whole 22. Stop at 20. Take 9 from 20. What do you got? 11. You give this horse a 0.88 positive adjustment. If that horse won against comparable, you got to look. Is he a mud horse? Is he only ever won the mud? Is today muddy? Then take the line again. 0.88 adjustment. 0.08 for point of variance. Even Brohammer used to use that. And Brohammer, you know, a lot of my stuff, he goes up.
If
you're
using
synergism,
automatic.
Yeah, he said it. Synergism, right. And I'm telling you how, what it will do inside.
Howard, what do you do with energy? With that same situation?
Use the E adjust?
Annually adjust with number 3 and then enter E.
The E automatic adjustment?
Only twice.
We go to New Orleans. By the time you get after New Orleans, you can get a lecture.
I've just been putting them in.
Okay, it's synergism. It's how you set the race up. It adjusts every horse to an 80 speed rating, which technically is a 20 variant.
You don't put the speed rating in
the car. You put track
record. It has a little thing. There's a little man in the synergism program. It's just a little tricky guy. And he's in every one of them. Boy, you think that's why we had to charge so much? Hiring that guy to work on those odd hours that you put in? He knows. He adjusts everything to an 80 speed rate. Unless you have shippers and there's a triangular. But if you were just, when you have these problems, if you want to figure out what's going on your synergism program, you have raw phase 3. Take a few, remember I talked to you on the phone about that? Take a few extra minutes and put them in raw phase 3 to see how the race really looks. And then you'll see what synergism does for you. But that's essentially the difference between hit speed. So if you took that final time in feet per second and you subtracted, you added 0.88 to the feet per second, that would be how it would run if the track were closer to that 09. It's just a matter of knowing it, not a matter of having used it all the time, because the synergism is designed to correct that problem.
You just put it in there.
Set it up with it closer to today's to times that are now winning. What happened, what we found that out was there was a period of golden gate when everybody was running 107.4, 108.1, horses of $10,000 claimers were just running away, the track had packed in. And they came down here, and no matter what you did with them, they came out of top. So the answer was set up times that are comparable to what's winning now. We have periods of Santa Anita when 109s are 44.4, that's quite common. And then there are other periods when it's like, I guess it was the other day, 111, so 45.2. If you put in setup times that are comparable to reality, today's reality, I mean, if you say, oh boy, 107, I'm going to use that. But you say, see, synergism should have protected people against those Golden Gate horses because they weren't supposed to put in Golden Gate times, but they did. They're supposed to put in Santa Anita times, whatever track they were playing down here. But up north, they got in a heck of a lot of trouble. Went from 108 to 112 in 2 weeks.
Now, here you looked at the difference in variance and you would put in an adjustment equivalent. Now, how did you do that?
Well, I told her that would be the way that it would be adjusted. Say she were doing it wrong. And she wanted to see what that horse could do under today's circumstances. That's a very good ballpark, big as 0.08. In other words, what it's telling you is that the variant is half a length as opposed to a length. The other half is base in each class. We're 0.08 instead of 0.15.
What's the difference between putting in this slow race and putting in a slow race because it was
bad? Not at all. You have to make that decision. Surgeon can't tell. The program can't tell. You have to do that. That's part of the handicap process. You put in slow horses, it'll try for you.
Oh, I see.
Syncretism has that built-in bias. It thinks every horse in there belongs there.
So we treat them all like we're the
race. You betcha. And it thinks there's a good excuse for every slow horse. Try to bring down
horse
as much as you can. So putting in slow horses is known as suicide.
I have another question.
And my last advice is, when you have the mill manual says, if you have more than three questions and you're going to ask about a race, pass the race. Do it on paper. Learn the answer to those questions so the next time you face it, you'll know some answers from your own doing. Don't go out and bet a race where you have three questions. Two questions, you might be able to handle. If you don't get a little tingly feeling, like, say, I got this one by the wherever women get them by, then don't play the race. Don't improve yourself without investing money and play where you your money where you already have confidence. And then, but don't do like some people do. Well, I can't win 3-year-old races or filly races, so I'll never play them again. Or I can't win routes, or I can't win sprint. Always over here, get yourself improved so you can play any kind of race. You know, the stock market, it ain't getting any better. One of these days, some of us who are lucratively employed will be out having maybe to be our salvation, as it has been for some people. One thing that makes this method better is when you need the money. You don't start playing with it. Just take it seriously, it'll take you seriously. Yes, sir.
My question was, I recently missed a Brohammer horse to watch because it was coming from us from sprints, and when I adjusted to the route, his energy distribution really looked off. And so I left it out, missed a $600 exact.
Well, I know what Tom would say. I never really allowed my horse to watch.
Well, I asked him what to say, what about it, and he was talking about trainer maneuvers instead of energy distribution.
Well, he hangs around with those mainstream guys. You got a little bit of roads up. The horse still won. He still picked it for you.
Yeah.
I would, in my estimation, is that if I were going to, if I'm buying a horse to watch this, I'm going to watch the horse for at least two plays, and I'll play it. If I was doing that, I wouldn't second guess it because he got the horse to watch because it ran faster than his class.
No sprinter is ever going to have route energy.
If you read the follow-up of his divider, how you divide, see how it's going to...
That'll help, but it's still... Your sprinter's always going to look too early for expecting out to do. Meaning energy is not a particularly appropriate tool to illuminate that horse with.
Use that divider in the follow-up last issue. That's been very, very effective for those of you.
I can show them a way to quickly determine whether or not the horse can run the route.
No, I'd like
to hear that.
Tom will have it. Yeah.
Yeah.
That divider is one very good way, and Tom will show another way what you do in the second column. Remember, if he's never run a route before, all these figures and dividers and projections and are still, if he can't do it, he can't do it. If he's never done it, he can't do it. The divider and Tom's down a pretty quick way are pretty good. You probably would have had some exactness. If you wouldn't have had it, you just blindly played horses to watch from your exact. You know, six of one, half dozen of the other. We have a problem. Somebody will get a $21 horse with some new procedure he reads about, but he misses supporting horses in between. $21 horses, and he only remembers the 21, and it works in reverse. You remember the $600 one you lost, but you don't remember the $400-some-odd one that we won the other way. With a couple of easy puts. Any more questions on the basics, so we'll all be up to snuff? Let me give you a generic, just a second. One generic answer is that you'll all... How do I know these answers? How does Nick know these answers, Tom? Any of us? Because we probably lost about a half a dozen races until we found out what the answer was. So we, in each race you lose, seek the answer to why you lost, and pretty soon, just remember, an authority, an expert is only an expert because he didn't make it the first time. You know, nobody's born an expert at anything. I mean, you're going to go, Johnny's real bright, he just cut the cat open the other day, and he's going to make a great surgeon. He said, "Oh, Johnny, would you take out my appendix? You must be pretty..." No, the kid's talented, but he hasn't any training. So the way you become an expert in the answer questions is to start by, you lose it, you fail, and then you see why you failed, and then you check yourself. Look at John Kingford, that's a very good example. We've got one of the greatest handicappers we got right now. I remember when he was, But now he's asking himself questions. He's answering these questions. And he's not always doing that. He's sending us some vital answers for others. You suddenly turn around and then you're answering questions. And the best way to do it is you look yourself in the mirror and say, "Hey, whatever your name is, what do you think about that adjustment a second call to make that sprinter win?" Now, if you look, don't look away. You got to look yourself in the eye. And if you look back and say, "I don't know." You should say, "Hey, dummy, why don't you know? I don't appreciate you talking to yourself." Don't do it when your wife's in the hall there. Do it when you're alone. If you talk to yourself, self-talk, like Dan talked about,